And it's Eddie Matthews sitting in for Jim Chapman this morning with Bob Metz and Jeff Schwimmer. And are we left, right, and center? And what should I be this morning, guys?
What? Good question.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
That's our first topic right there, folks.
We will ask you a bunch of questions now just to find out where you sit on the spectrum.
A quiz for you.
Okay. I like fishing, but I always throw the fish back, so I'm an environmentalist.
The left claims environmentalism.
One topic that came up yesterday, and it surrounded the body rub parlors and the legislation, I guess, that's being proposed, or is it official yet?
I guess it's a law
now. I believe
it is
law. Yeah.
And I was a little concerned whether this is an invasion now of freedom of expression, of whether there are any legal loopholes in this sort of thing, because this is one of those issues where I'm sure the lawyers are looking into this, saying, "Yeah, I really would like to be first in line to get a hold of this case." Because they want to keep a register of the clients who have gone to these places. Why should anyone care who goes into these places?
Well, that's the question to ask. The very idea is, of course, let's face it, they want to get rid of these establishments, and that's the bottom line, and they want to do it in a backdoor sort of a way. Mm-hmm. I think they've just opened the door to a wonderful lawsuit coming back on them, which, again, the taxpayer is going to have to foot. I think these laws take effect, is it May 8th or something like that, and so if anybody's in that business now, they either got to clear out of town
or
change the whole nature of the business that they're in.
Exactly. But with regards to the body rub parlors and the strip clubs, because they're trying to legislate those or at least get them out of town, anything to do with an adult lifestyle, I don't know whether they should really be involved with. This is a moral responsibility. Should the government be involved in that sort of thing?
Well, good question. I guess from the standpoint of the body rub, we talked about that last week, and from my perspective, I am not totally unhappy with what they've done, in the sense that I regret the proliferation in body rub parlors that we've seen in the last couple of years. Having said that, I am always very concerned about whether you can change human nature with a stick for everything, or whether sometimes you have to use a carrot. And if you simply pass a law that says this is verboten, that doesn't make it happen. We saw that in Prohibition back in the 20s. You know, you pass a law and say there's no alcohol, well, you create the mafia. You create organized crime. Because human nature being what it is, if there's a demand, it's still going to be filled, and it'll be filled in a more surreptitious way.
But then we wonder whether organized crime is already involved with some of the clubs. We already saw what happened with recently at the Beef Baron. Now, there's no correlation between the two, but in the States, you know, that's one of the things where organized crime seems to be involved with.
Well, wherever you have a restricted market, or if somebody's, you know, like even limiting the number of clubs, that gives undue competitive advantage to those clubs that stay in the marketplace, and makes it possibly likely that more organized crime elements will get into it, because they like restricted markets. They like us paying as taxpayers to keep their competition away. It works the same in drug laws. I mean, to me, the biggest supporter of any drug law would be the guy who's pushing drugs at the top.
But I know we'll get people coming down on me, and I'll play devil's advocate on this, but if I'm an owner of, in the article in that came out from City Hall, they don't want any of the body rub parlors around churches, schools. Why, if I was a body rub parlor owner or a strip club owner, why would I want a church close to my business in the first place? Let's just reverse the tables. Why would I want to have a church? Shouldn't I be able to say to the city, look, I'm a taxpayer.
Well, why would I? Thing. I don't know if it's a traffic thing or whatever, but I know right on Warncliffe Road, isn't there an adult bookstore right beside a church, right across
that's
the street?
That's right, Oxford and Warncliffe.
Yeah, so
that's
what's the problem?
Yeah.
Is there a problem with having these two things side by side? I think, in the sense, as long as it's all private and nobody's being forced to view something they don't want to see, I think all the proprieties of public, decorum have been kept there. I don't see a problem there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that comes back to a balancing of interests, I guess, and I presume that churchgoers who believe that the body rub parlors are immoral and under their religious teachings and stuff would be offended by seeing them next door. It becomes a question of sort of balancing their right not to be offended to everyone else's right to sort of be where they want to be. And I suppose, schools, I'm sure, have to grapple that one a little
bit
more.
But do we really have a right not to be offended? I mean, anything can offend you, and a lot of people are offended by the actions of so-called good, well-meaning Christians who want to close them down. That's offensive. I can pick up the newspaper any day and be offended by the news that I read there. Do I get angry with the publishers of the paper because of that?
Yeah, well, I would argue that it's not that the church people have a right to say you shouldn't be near us because somehow they're logically in the right. I'd say it's because they have the power in our sort of Judeo-Christian society, with a lot of our laws being based in sort of the church, and the church still having power in society to say, we don't want them nearby, keep them away from us. And there are politicians who will say, well, okay, we like the churches and we don't want to offend
them.
Well,
don't forget, it's the politicians who have the power. The churches may have the influence, but the actual person exercising the vote in city council is a politician, and that's where the responsibility has to lie. I don't think you can, just because people have their interests, that's natural and that's good. It's when politicians keep giving in to one side over the other.
Mm-hmm.
You don't balance interests. What you balance in a society, it doesn't even require a balancing act. What you do is you enforce individual rights, individual property rights, and as long as, for example, the adult bookstore obeys all the rules of private property rights and the church does the same, mm-hmm. they'll never get in each other's way.
Well, one thing that I think that you and I agree on is that it shouldn't be legislated in the way that it is. And from my end, I say I regret the fact that they're there, and I'd be much more interested in figuring out what's going on. You know, why has there been this proliferation? And from my end of it, I'd be interested in sort of trying to get at, you know, what are the core reasons why there's suddenly such a larger demand than there used to be, and try and figure out what that is. And I have some theories about what that would be, and I have a lot to do with the economy.
Be an interesting, that could be part of it. I could be also with a major change in basically people's basic personal morality in the last 20, 30 years.
And that's the key word, is morality. And with the current administration that we've got at City Council, at least with the mayor, who has been, and I respect the mayor for I give credit to anyone that has strong beliefs as she has. However, I may not agree with those beliefs. I respect her for those, but I don't think she should be speaking on my behalf.
Well, that's what we liked her to do, though. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of people voted for her on an issue that was certainly one of morality
sure.
in their minds. And
precisely.
You know, and we're always talking about how elected politicians don't show leadership. They mm-hmm. don't step out in front of us, but they're always reading polls and governing mm-hmm. by polls. You know, one thing we can say is that certainly she knows what she believes and she's mm-hmm. doing what she believes, and I agree with her.
And it's one thing, isn't it, to talk about it and say, you know, I have no problem with... I don't believe in pornography or adult entertainment, but to be shutting things down, that to me seems to be crossing the line somewhat.
Well, they don't even go all the way and shut things down. They take this halfway measure all the yeah. time. They're okay, we'll only have 5, or we'll have 6 or 7, or we'll create mm-hmm. some bureaucratic nightmare of a regulation mm-hmm. to handle it. Mm-hmm. And as Cheryl Miller said, we only want to have control. That's the whole point. They want control. Now, what kind of person wants control of an industry that they morally despise? That means you've got to get into that industry somehow. You've got to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's the whole Achilles heel of this whole logic, is that yeah. once the city gets into this, they're going to have to be collecting taxes. We've got to pay. Who's paying for all this extra policing and all this nonsense that we have to look after now? Meanwhile, when you're in a car accident, you've got to go report your own accident.
Exactly.
Now. Police officer can't come to your home. It's just absurd what we're doing.
And for the extra policing, you know, Julian could get that helicopter, but all the proceeds are being taken away from that.
Yeah, you know, it's just like when the strip clubs, before they were regulated to, I think there's only 7 allowed, don't quote me on that, but I think it's a small number.
Yeah.
But before that, they were quite proliferate, you know, all over towns, put it that way.
Proliferous.
And, but most of them died out. I mean, they didn't last long. I remember back in the early 70s, I used to work downtown. You couldn't walk a block without yeah. passing a strip club.
That's right.
I mean, they were
the
all
Red
over
Lion
the place. Everywhere, every
yeah.
other corner.
But shouldn't
and
the
I felt a heck of a lot safer downtown yeah. back then than I do today, which is another irony of the whole situation. There was never a street problem with it.
But in this case, of course, with the bylaw, they've gone a lot further than that, in the sense that they're not saying we're going to come in and regulate this in the best interests of patrons, in the best interests of employees. We're not going to impose some health standards. What they've said is we want a list of names and address of everybody who goes there, you know, no non-transparent clothing, we want no nudity. Effectively, they've said we want them shut down, we want to make it impossible for them to operate. And what offends me about this is that if they want them shut down, they should pass a law that says they're illegal or not. you know. But don't try and do it with these half measures, with these sort of wink and a nudge sort of measures, because that to me incites disrespect for the law. Everybody knows what they're trying to do, and they're not saying what they're going to do.
I still think there's even some form of an acknowledgement at the root of the politicians realizing that what they're really doing is infringing on someone else's individual freedoms and their property rights and things like that. And so as to not look as bad as just stamping it out, they try to take this halfway measure, you know, try to please everybody type of approach, and that pleases nobody.
Well, one thing that occurs to me about it is that I'm conscious that historically I think the lefties are the ones who are considered to be sort of licentious and the sort of they're not the moral upstanding people. It's the right wing, the moral majority, the religious right who are the hardcore holier-than-thou types, and it's the left wing are sort of laissez-faire and sort of you should live your own life and all this stuff. And on this issue of where freedom gets involved in it, particularly commercial freedom, then it seems like the tables are turned, and it's like all the left-wing counselors who are lining up saying this is a bad thing, it's immoral, it should be shut down. The right-wing counselors are saying, you know, let the market dictate.
That's exactly it. I think the market should dictate what happens. If there's a need for it, why not let it happen?
I'm not used to feeling like a prude, though. But I do.
No, it's funny because the marketplace, you have to realize, are the people out there. And if there's a demand for this, where are they coming from? They're coming from the very community we're talking about, from the very homes that we want to keep these establishments away from. Mm-hmm. So there's just no two ways of getting around that. I mean, the demand is here. If you make things illegal, you'll just drive it further underground. It's going on all the time. Prostitution has never slowed down for a minute, regardless of what constituency and what country. Mm-hmm. Even in the most horrific countries where a crime like that might be punishable by something very severe, it still goes on. Yeah. Imagine that.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in terms of enforcement, too, because if they are serious about enforcing it, they're going to have to devote a lot of resources, particularly initially police resources, to shut things down, to policing them, to supervising and so on. It sort of like reminds me of the smoking bylaw in Toronto last year, where they purported to ban all smoking in restaurants. And the result of that was that, I don't know where it stands today, but last time I was in Toronto, there were no smoking areas left because people just started smoking wherever the heck they wanted in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And they said it would have taken an immense amount of police resources to come in and basically shut down every restaurant in Toronto to try and cope with this. If you suddenly say, thou shall not do something, which people want to do, if you're serious about shutting them down, you better have a lot of police ready and spend a lot of time and a lot of money.
Absolutely. It's a police state kind of thinking.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break here and we'll come back and take your calls too as well. If you'd like to be a part of the program this morning, 643-1290, star 1290, free call for Cantel customers. It's Talk of the Town on 1290 CJBK. This morning, Bob Metz, Jeff Schwimmer, and it's Left, Right, and Center. This is Eddie Matthews sitting in for Jim Chapman this morning. We'll go to the phones and talk to Elaine. Good morning, Elaine.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to ask either one of your guests if their wives work in these places, massage parlors.
And would they admit it?
Well, no, but I'm saying if they did, would it be okay? Because I think both of them are losing the point that a lot of the women that are working in these places, this is where all your welfare people went, are working in these places, which are prostitution fronts.
Oh, exactly. I think it's terrible. And I think that what we need to be figuring out is what's going on here. And I think that one of the big reasons that we've got this problem is because we've had chronic high unemployment for almost a decade now. We've got welfare rates that have been cut dramatically. And I think a lot of people are forced into these jobs. And I've had lots of clients over the years who have done this kind of work, and they don't like it, at least
no,
the ones that I've talked
to.
This is
where the problem lies. And it's also like the sexually transmitted diseases everyone is seeming to forget. Like,
Lane,
it's not legislating morality, it's legislating health standards.
Lane, why are you worried about this?
Why am I worried about it?
Because why are you worried about what other people are doing?
What I'm worried about, because I feel really bad that young girls, single mothers, are forced into this type of lifestyle. This is what really bothers me.
Yeah, this is an unhealthy thing for our society, no matter how you slice it.
Yeah, like, I mean, this is what happens in other countries. You go to other countries and they've got, you know what I mean, they're selling young girls and that. We don't need that in Canada.
Well,
like,
that's
this
not
is
what's
not
going
needed
on
Canada.
Here. What and evidence do you have of that? I've never seen that or heard of that.
You've never heard of that, of them selling children in places like
in other
Cuba
countries.
Brazil and...
Not we're talking London, Ontario right now, aren't we? In
That's
a country
right.
where
and,
we
and
have,
we have a prostitution
where we already have
in London, Ontario, and it's not. And,
well, who's
and
it a problem with?
You're right. The girls are allowed to sell themselves, but the men aren't allowed to buy them, which is the silliest rule I ever heard. But these women are forced into this lifestyle.
Well,
they
what
have
evidence
no other
do you
choices.
Have of that in London, Ontario?
And in London, Ontario, what other choice do they have?
Well, any other choice.
Well, they can go
there's all kinds of
right.
poor women. There was
and then
there
if they're a single parent, I mean, if you're a single parent here in London, a mother, like if you talk to some of them, which I doubt you do, like they want to take them all down to Victoria Park and stone them to death. So instead of living like that, they go out and try to do the best they can so they get caught up in this here massage
okay, so,
parlor.
Okay, Elaine, okay, so we catch a prostitute and her customer, how many years in jail should they go to jail for?
Well, I don't know how many years in jail, but I mean,
well,
maybe they should put
them?
The man's
I'd
name out.
In the
like,
newspaper.
You mean they never seem to report the man's name? It's just like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We're not going to do it.
Well, I certainly agree that's unfair.
Anything
but
to
that,
his family.
But that's only part of the unfair package of prosecuting the prostitute. I mean, it, your body belongs to you. If you choose to sell it to somebody, isn't that your right?
No.
It isn't your right.
Well, okay.
Right, is it mine?
But there are lots of people who aren't able to make that decision. There are lots of prostitutes who have drug addictions.
Is it against the law to infect someone with HIV in Canada?
I would like to think that if you did that knowingly, that it would be, and that there would be some liability on you.
Well, if you don't bother going getting a test, you don't know whether you have it or not.
That's right, and that's why it's a buyer beware market out there.
Like, I mean, they're sleeping with a lot of people.
Well, so if you want to protect yourself, you just don't do that. You have to, morality, pertains to a person's own behavior. When I see a moralist telling me how other people are supposed to behave, that person knows nothing about morality as far as I'm concerned.
It's just where you draw the line. I mean, there are some people in London, maybe yourself, I don't know, that wouldn't bother them to see them having sex on the street. But some of us, it bothers.
The problem for me is that I don't think a law is going to fix the problem. You know, if you just make it illegal, you drive it underground. What we really need to do is give women real alternatives. We need to give them real jobs so they don't have to do this.
But then
this
what do you do with
right,
the guys?
But they're not going to do that. You know they're not going to do it. But with this proliferation of these here, I mean, there's one in every corner in London. And I mean, if it's not body rub parlors, I know next year it'll come out under a new name, but there's something really terrible going on here.
I agree.
Yeah, Elaine, thanks very much for the
call.
Okay, bye-bye. You know, we're talking about forcing these women. I don't think we're forcing anybody into doing anything. They could get a job any place they wanted. And if they are, you know, there are a lot of fast food and convenience store jobs.
Don't get me started on unemployment. Listen, we've had in Canada, well, in Ontario, we've had 1 million people out of work since 1990. Mm-hmm. Right now, there are, at any given time in London, there's about 40,000 people out of work. The Canada Employment Centre says that there are about 500 to 1,000 jobs at any given time. So you've got 39,000 people for whom there are just no jobs. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter how you slice it, and people think that there are these fast food jobs and stuff, there just ain't. You know, there are a ton of people out of work, and they have been since 1990. That's mm-hmm. the real core problem. What we've seen, I think, is society deteriorate because of that. We've got to get these people back to work. Now, there are different theories about how you do that, mm-hmm. but one way or another, if we didn't have the high unemployment, I don't think we'd have this problem. The other thing is the reason of demand. I don't think that every man wants to go to a prostitute. You know, I think that there's a problem there, too, and we need to figure out why is this happening.
Yeah,
I think
you're getting the prostitution off the streets, but you're also, obviously, there's a need. If guys are willing and need to go to a prostitute or a body rub parlor.
But why is there so much more need now than there was 5 years ago or two years ago?
I don't think that has changed. Yeah.
It's way worse than it used to be.
No, well, what's worse now is the visibility of it, and that's the mm-hmm. only thing that the law yeah. can do. What city council is trying to do is make the problem less visible. If it stays underground and is kept underground, they're quite happy as long as they have, quote, control over it, which mm-hmm. means they can intimidate people, they can, run around like little fascists and do their thing. Mm-hmm. That's all it's about, and I don't see that as being moral at all.
We'll go back to the phones and talk to Amy right now. Good morning, Amy.
Morning, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
I'm just calling to make a comment on Elaine. She was saying that single women who are, I guess, mostly the women who are working in these body rub parlors, I haven't really been following it, but they're forced into it. And I have a bone to pick with that. I've been walking in the malls lately, and there is a lot of jobs out there. They're not great paying, but they don't have to go to the body rub parlors. There are other alternatives. If I was a single mother, I would be a little upset about what she said about that, because you're not forced into it. They're not dragging you in there, making you go in there and work.
Again, part of the problem is trying to figure out what's going on in the economy based on a couple signs in the windows that the government tell us, and the government, have all kinds of people who keep track of this, that there are just not nearly enough jobs around. And the situation has gotten a little bit better, although nobody expected when the recession started in 1990 it would be still going 8 years later. But there just aren't a lot of jobs out there.
Unemployment comes at a price. when a person chooses what his minimum wage will be, some people will simply not work for less than $15 an hour, so they'd rather remain unemployed.
They will.
Well, some that you know will, sure, and if the job's available there. But the necessary thing here is you can get as much unemployment you want depending at what price. If the wage is low enough, you'll find that there's all kinds of employment available, but nobody wants those jobs. The reason women may choose to get into the sex industry in whatever way, shape, or to whatever degree they choose is because the money there for the time invested is greater than for the time invested in some other form of job.
But there just aren't jobs going unfilled in London or in Ontario. That doesn't hold water here. There aren't a ton of these extraordinarily low-paying jobs that are not being filled. They're all being filled.
But then let's get back to the subject, and I'll throw this maybe at you, Amy. Do you look at this as being, with regards to the body rubs and everything that's associated with it, as a sense of supply and demand?
Well,
If guys are looking for it, the women are obviously there to help with that demand, aren't they?
Yeah.
It sounds callous, and it's not a lifestyle that I would want to promote. However, that's the law of the economics with this type of reality.
You're right.
But in this case, we've created a demand by creating an unhappy society. And a lot of people say that prostitution isn't about sex. It's about loneliness. It's about unhappiness and these other things. We've created a society. We've got a segment of society who are just really unhappy. You know, and to me, we've got to get working on that. And I wish we had a government who were going to promote happiness.
Who's unhappy, though? The Johns or the prostitutes?
The customers. I don't know what you call them, but whoever the customers are.
Johns, I guess.
Johns, okay.
Johns, whatever.
Well, if they're the unhappy ones, then we don't have to worry about the
because they're getting satisfaction right then and there.
So. Well, this isn't the best way for them to get satisfaction. I'd far rather them have a society where they wanted to go out and do volunteer work with their time, where they wanted to be with their kids, where they wanted to be with their spouse. That's the kind of London I'd like to live in.
I agree.
Well, that's the ideal, but you cannot condemn people who haven't reached your ideal. Everybody goes through certain phases in their life, and sometimes you're down and out, and sometimes you're on top of the hill. But to constantly judge people because they're not where you think they should be, and to judge
I haven't said a word about them. I've said they're unhappy. That's not blaming them for their unhappiness. I blame the government. You know, we've got a situation right now where we've got theoretically 3 years. The past 3 years have been times of extraordinary economic boom times in Ontario. Yet for the average person, they haven't had a raise. You know, with inflation, they continue to fall behind in their standard of living. There's no reason they should be unhappy, and yet we have a government that continues to let that happen.
You're saying that the guy that goes to see a prostitute goes there because he's unhappy, not because he's horny.
Well, that's what I've been told by a lot of people and have read.
Well, if that's the case and you want to cure people's happiness, then you got to talk about a whole other issue than putting them in jail for being unhappy. I mean, then the argument for what you're saying gets even more ridiculous.
I'm not suggesting you put them in jail. You and I are agreeing. Well, what I would like to do is make them happier. I would like them to get raises. I would like them to be able to go out and get a car and have a house.
Obviously,
that's what's going to keep them out of the prostitution houses.
Whether you agree with them or not, they're obviously going to these houses because they walk out the door happier than when they walked in. Whether you agree with that or not, whether you like the idea or not, so what's your point?
My point is that I'd like them not to want to go in the first place, and that it's not that hard to figure out how to do that.
I'd like you not to be a left winger. Should I lose sleep over this and start asking
City Council? It worth my while.
Okay, you think about that. We're going to break here. Amy, thanks a lot for the call this morning. I appreciate it. 643-1290 if you'd like to get on Left, Right, and Center this morning with Bob Metz, Jeff Schlemmer, and we'll be back with more in just a moment on Talk of the Town. And it's another edition of Left, Right, and Center. Right now, just discussing the body rep powers and also the whole adult entertainment. And from one side, it's gone to, do women really need to be doing this sort of activity when they could be, instead of flipping customers, they could be flipping burgers. You know, there do seem to be jobs out there, but this is the order of discussion right now. We'll go back to the phones and talk to Kyla right now. Good morning, Kyla.
Good morning. I think that London's getting a bad reputation over this. But I don't think it's because there are body rub parlors. I think it's because instead of having a mayor and council, we have babysitters. We're not allowed to make adult decisions on private consensual behavior.
Mm-hmm.
We're not allowed to do what we like because the word sex is involved. I find that a lot of people ask me, I moved up here from the States, and they're like, oh my God, why do you want to come to London?
Mm-hmm.
London's so repressive.
Well, years ago, there was a great politician called Pierre Trudeau, and I believe he stated that, you know, the government has no business in our bedrooms. And should that still be the case? Should we be able to make up our own private decisions on a morality issue?
Certainly. We don't have body rub parlors in Victoria Park or on the sidewalks outside your school. They're inside their buildings. this need a neck covering means a lot of street clothes aren't even going to be allowed.
Well, this is one big problem is that they can't even enforce what women wear on the street. You know, if a woman now wants to go topless, she's allowed, I believe, to do so.
That's right, but that's because she's not asking for money. Remember, money is the thing that makes a politician's eye open up. He doesn't care about rights, property, none of that. If money's there, then they get their action.
But it is funny, as Kyla says, though, about London having a reputation for being ultra-conservative and stuff, mm-hmm. but we've always had that reputation.
Oh, sure,
we're just living up to it over and over.
Yep.
How embarrassing.
It's about sex. It's not about anything else. You can take your clothes off at the Beef Baron because there's plenty of money involved there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no sex allowed. There's no actual touching allowed as far as you touching the woman kind of thing.
Yeah, but there's supposed to be no sex at the body rub parlors. Yet we hear, and this is the area I have contention with, is that we hear it's all hearsay right now.
You know, I don't care if they are having sex. Some guy wants to pay $50 for a hand job. It doesn't affect me. It has nothing to do with my life. I'm a professional. I'm not in the body rub business. You know, there are some people that are. There are people paying their way through medical and law school by working in body rub parlors. I know a lot of women that have become physicians and lawyers that have stripped their way through to go through these schools. It's a means of making a lot of money quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's a legal business, the city has no right to come in and make it illegal because the mayor doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm. It's not just the mayor, though. There's pretty widespread support. I think one of the things is a question of where does government draw the line of morality? Like, for instance, you can make a lot of money by selling crack cocaine, for instance, and put yourself through
I think where it draws the line should be drawn is if it's harmful to society, and if it's going on inside a little building, it doesn't have a damn thing to do with the rest of society.
But then we're concerned with disease being spread, and then that becomes harmful to society.
And at that point, people should use condoms. Everybody should know that. People who are dating should use condoms. Everybody should know that. You know, people should be taking responsibility for their actions on that front. I am sure that if there is prostitution going on in these businesses, then those women are protecting themselves. I'm sure they're not ignorant. The other thing would be I would be strongly against anyone being forced into prostitution. There should be very, very strong laws against that. But that's not what I see going on here. What I see going on here is that London doesn't want to have a reputation of being a place where people have sex.
Although
or where there's anything sexual going on.
Yeah, although London actually has apparently come to this fairly late. Like, Toronto's had these regulations mm-hmm. for some years, and a lot of other cities have. It's just, what I've heard is that London sort of got a reputation as there is no regulation here. This is an open market. It's the Wild West. And the expectation, I think, was that if you came here and got opened up, there would be a grandfather clause, mm-hmm. so you'd be allowed to continue, and then you would be in that regulated market that Bob talked about earlier, and you could make a lot of money, but it didn't go that way.
Yeah. Yeah, Kyla, thanks for the call this morning.
Okay, I think this all relates to a lot of different things. I think people need to really look at it because, to me, it's how far does the government have a right to infringe on personal liberties? That's the issue with me.
Yeah, good
not
point.
Not the issue of what do you want in your community, but if it's not affecting you on the street, how far, you know, can they come in my house and complain to me about things? And at this point, they can.
Yeah.
I think that's the same thing that was going on with the Halo and the Pride issue,
mm-hmm.
is that... We don't want to see it. If it goes back in the closet, then we're okay with it, but we certainly don't want to see it. Well, you know, wake up, guys.
Good points, Kyla. I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
See you later. Yeah, I agree with a lot of the points that she just brought up regarding Halo, and it doesn't hurt me. I may not agree with it. I may not like to see the parade, but it isn't bothering me. So.
Well, and it's interesting. You say
don't forget, there was no question about whether they could have a parade or not. That was never an issue. The issue was the mayor's personal mm-hmm. proclaiming a gay Pride Week, which is a separate issue. I mm-hmm. think that the Human Rights Commission's violated her rights. Whether I agree with her opinion or not is another issue. She's entitled to her opinion, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, but then why isn't there a straight parade then? You know,
lots of them.
Well, there you get to a totally other issue. But
as far as the body rub goes, though, it occurs to me that in a way, the body rub parlors sort of, they did take it out of the closet. You know, at one time, I understand they were around, but they didn't have big signs out front. In the last year or so, you've started to see signs at street corners and so on. In a way, they sort of pushed the envelope a little further than they turns out that they could. Mm-hmm. And I've used this phrase often in my here, and because it's so memorable. My tax professor once saying that the main rule for tax law was that pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can push something only so far, but when they start to sort of throw it in the faces of people, they sort of invite a reaction, and they sure got it.
You know what's going to be a real problem, and it's not in this city, but there is one other city that's going through the same problem that London is going through right now. Mayor Rudy Giuliani in New York City is trying to clean up this particular trade. And you want to think London's got problems. Wait till they try this in New York City. Because that's a completely different lifestyle there. The lifestyle there is probably bigger than the city of London in itself.
Well, if you can make it work there, you can make it work anywhere.
Exactly. Exactly. We should move on and look at a few other subjects, too, this morning, too, including, there was one that was in the paper, and it was regarding video cameras, rather, at stoplights and stop signs to see how London drivers are actually doing. How do you feel about cameras being used to help alleviate the traffic problems that we've had and catch the bad drivers, I guess?
Well, I personally don't know whether it would even work or not. I know that any time I'm out in a public place, anybody has the right to take a picture of me. I'm not going to argue that that's my right, although I understand there has been some contest on that issue. If it's a safety factor, I guess they're putting these cameras, at just a handful of corners or something like that?
Yeah, what they've talked about doing is putting them at the worst intersections. And I was struck, actually, by some of the statistics that, for instance, at Commissioners in Wellington, which is one of our worst corners, mm-hmm. they say there's an accident there every 2 days. Mm-hmm. And, it happens all the time. So what they're talking about is having a camera that would operate when somebody goes through it.
But look at the volume of traffic there. If you prorate that to all the other intersections for the same amount of traffic, does it really have a more frequent rate of accident?
Well, I guess what they're thinking is that, first of all, that they want them to be visible and people to be aware that's happening, because they say there's a lot of people going through red lights, that these accidents happen for a reason. Mm-hmm. They're not just a necessary occurrence. So in that sense, there's a temptation. The other value, aside from discouraging people from going through the red lights, is that then you've got a camera image of the accident. You know exactly whose mm-hmm. fault it was.
And I have no problem with that. The area of concern that I have is the privacy law. And let's say the mayor was in a car with someone other than her husband. Would that be made available to the press? You know, I'd want to make sure that if you were doing something illegal in the car, and I don't know if you could really do that at such a high speed, but if you were, say, smoking a joint, and some people have a very apparent way of holding a joint, that you could be... they could try to take you to court for that, or try to charge you with something.
The more information
like that.
The government gets about you, the more chance there is of it being abused or accidentally released when it shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. That's part of the problem right now, and I think this will come. And I'm sort of Orwellian, I guess. I think that ultimately we will have cameras everywhere we go. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't seem to realize that there are already cameras all over the place. Every time you go to a bank machine, you've got a camera watching you.
I want to go to the phone because Sam is on a cell phone. He's a former bouncer at one of the local strip clubs. How you doing, Sam?
Not bad. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing well. What do you think of the comments this morning regarding the strip clubs and the body rub parlors?
Oh, well, I just tuned in your program about 15 minutes ago, so I've missed most of it today. But as I said, I used to work at some of the local strip clubs around here, and a lot of these girls, I heard your show yesterday, and there's this lady on there that called all these women whores, mm-hmm. and pardon my language. A lot of these women are not that. Some, granted, yes, do things, but on the side, and sometimes in the club, sometimes not in the club. But a lot of these girls are just there temporarily to put themselves through school and do the best for themselves, their spouse, and or their kids.
Mm-hmm. So what you've seen, it's usually the minority that are really giving the trade a bad name.
It's the girls that are trying to help themselves that are getting the bad name. Mm-hmm. And as a bouncer, and a professional bouncer, I would think, a lot of these girls came to me and said, you know, I'm here, I'm doing this, I'm not on salary, I'm starting at 9 o'clock or 9:30, I'm working till close, could you keep a special extra eye on me sort of thing, to make sure nothing happens? Mm-hmm. And they tip you out at the end of the night for that.
Yeah. Do you get police or officials coming in just checking out at the clubs to make sure everything's on the up and up?
When I worked at the clubs, there has been, yes. Whether they be plain clothes or in uniform, I've seen them both. Mm-hmm. They come in, they've identified themselves. We're just going to take a stroll around. It's carry on, help yourself.
And are they acting like a heavy, or are they just, you know, treating you with respect?
Like, if they're plain clothes, they're acting like a customer.
Yeah.
If they're in uniform, they just take a walk around, they talk, they chit-chat. They don't play tough guys. They're there to respect the public, same as the public should respect them.
If you're looking at this from an outsider's standpoint, what concerns do you have? Do you share the same concerns with some of the people that have called in? With regards to strip clubs and how we see them in the community? Because they do pay their taxes. It is legal to go there.
it is legal to go there, and if a lot of these people saying that the girls aren't forced to do this, no, they're there of their own choice. Mm-hmm. But if you want to see them lowered down or become less and less, the cost of a table dance is $10. The cost of a private table dance is $20. The cost of a private booth can be $50 and up.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of a feature to do one song to strip in your in front of you is starts around $250 per song. You should lower some of these prices down. You're going to see less girls in there trying to make money or do this kind of living.
But Sam, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Good to
Thank
hear from you.
You.
Thanks a lot. 643-1290 gets you on to Left, Right, and Center this morning. We'll take a break here. Be back with more in just a moment on Talk of the Town. Covering a variety of topics this morning, but we've just moved on to the cameras on street corners and whether that'll be beneficial. Do you think that it's going to help out with drivers knowing that, okay, straight ahead of me is a camera? Should I run this red light, or should I just be stuck in the middle of the road here?
Well, I guess that's a choice that only affects people who run red lights, so I can't really speak for myself. I'm unaffected by it one way or the other.
Because even in Toronto, if you're out too far, you will get a ticket.
Look at the
that.
Toll highways. The toll highways already have cameras pointing at you.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting question asked of me the other day. Like, if you go on the 407 at, say, the first exit, and you get off at the last exit at such and such a time, they take a picture of you at both ends.
And they know how long it took.
And they know how long it took you. So they'll know if you were speeding.
That's right.
You don't even need to patrol the highway for that.
Is that right?
And so maybe when you get your bill, you could get a speeding ticket along with it.
Sure.
What a cash cow. But I don't know if they're doing that or not. It just seems to me an easy way to do it.
No, I haven't heard of it. But sure, that is something. And back, in fact, when photo radar was introduced in Ontario, the plan at that point, the Solicitor General had said he was going to blanket the province with photo radar. And it was technologically not a great leap to go from a still photo to a moving camera to a system where they could keep track of where people were. And if you know, the potential for abuse is there. If a government wanted to keep track of the opposition leader, for instance, they could... you know, tell from their cameras where they are in Ontario, what they're up to, and so on.
Yeah.
I think it's a bad thing for now, although, as I say, I think it's inevitably going to come to us. And I think that what will happen is people will get more and more used to the cameras being around. So you go into a mall now and you're being followed by a camera
constantly.
All the time.
Yeah.
You know, and people will get more and more used to it. And there are advantages to it. In England, we've seen the case of the little, was it 2-year-old who was murdered?
That's right.
Got it on film.
Yeah.
There'll be more and more of that. And I think it's the way of the world. As it gets cheaper and cheaper and less obtrusive, that we'll just get used to it and we'll have it. But it does have some really chilling potential.
Musicians were getting very much involved in this. I remember, I think it was about five to 8 years ago, Peter Gabriel was using a lot of proceeds from album sales and concerts. He was buying up video cameras and sending them to different places around the world so that if you were part of an organization and you felt that you were being looked upon, or if there, you felt that you were fearing for your life or in trouble, then you could videotape everything around you and then keep a message of that, keep a recorded diary of what was going on.
Well, it has a lot of value as far as keeping people honest. I know that in terms of picket lines, for instance, the standard advice for the picketers is always make sure you've got lots of cameras around, you know, that cameras keep people honest. You know, if they realize what they're going to be doing is in the paper the next day, then they'll tend to be less likely to do it.
Cameras keep the police honest, too. Remember how many times cameras have caught the police in actions that we otherwise would
Rodney
not
King.
Approve of?
Well, even the Rodney King, though, but we saw the 90 seconds or so of that video, but we didn't know what led up to that. Mind you, that was
That's
a,
right.
Well, cameras can be very deceptive, too.
Sure they can.
You know, they can be used to make something look totally different than it was, and it's also very hard to explain any background. It's very hard to say what the context is of what's going on. All I know is somebody's wailing away at somebody else, you know, and that's all you need to know for your soundbite.
But then on the other side, you know, we heard of an incident in London this morning at one of the automated banking machines that someone had set up a camera so that it would look over your shoulder and see what PIN number you're using. And then they would make up their own debit cards. So, you know, it's how the system is being abused.
Yeah, I think one thing is that the government needs to give a lot of thought to those kinds of implications around this. You know, technology is changing so quickly. There are ethical aspects around it. It's not simple. What's the question in Jurassic Park? Somebody had said that Jurassic Park had been written as a cautionary tale to say, you know, you shouldn't just take technology because you can. You know, that though the one line is that, you know, you did this because you could, but you never asked whether you should.
Mm-hmm.
And I think government needs to be thinking long and hard about that with this kind of technology. The technology is there. The question is, how are we going to use it?
And with the use of video, a lot of, you know, a lot of celebrities, movie stars, are now looking into this process of protecting their own image, because we've seen, there was a movie, the Dustin Hoffman movie, I guess, where they created a war and they used a lot of chroma key.
Right, the dog.
Yep. That's right. And it's that sense of I need my image protected because we could take all of our pictures and we could electronically put it into an image where we don't really want to be seen.
Oh, sure. There's a movie, Rising Sun, with Sean Connery, where another Michael Crichton book, where he showed how easy it is to change what videotape is now. And in that case, they changed the face of the apparent murderer.
That's right.
They say, you know, you can't trust what you see. You know, right here we're just getting used to the idea that we should have these things around because they do chronicle what's going on. But now we're into the technology of morphing and changing. We're seeing Elvis on commercials nowadays and so on.
And Fred Astaire, yeah.
Oh, sure. Forrest Gump, you know, with that stuff now it's a question of, well, okay, now we start to rely on this stuff and we find that we can't count on it at all.
Yeah.
Well, if you're talking criminal actions and criminal crime, I think you really have to rely on personal witnesses and stuff who could be lying too. I mean, let's face it. It all comes down to the morality of the individual who's presenting you with the videotape or the evidence, or whether it's oral, verbal, on tape, on written. People lie on their affidavits. People lie on videotape. People lie on any means possible. If they're lying, they're lying. Mm-hmm. That's what the system's there to ferret out. Is who's telling the truth and who's lying. And it would be nice if truth was a standard in court, but of course a couple of weeks ago I guess we agreed that wasn't the case.
Well, no, and unfortunately I think one of the real temptations for law enforcement people is because eyewitness testimony is so unreliable. Even people who are acting as honestly as they can, we perceive things so selectively, and there's been all kinds of psychological studies to show that you even remember things in the context of the life you're living, you know, that you see things in a certain way based on who you are. And it's not just lying, but it's a question of perception and what you think you saw. They say at any given car accident, just to get the witnesses to agree on what color the cars were is something that rarely happens. So it's so tempting to say, well, here's a videotape. We know exactly what happened. Here it is. And from the standpoint of responsibility, again, for things like accidents, you know, if somebody has run a red, if you've got a videotape showing it, are they going to fight the case or are they just going to concede the point? There could be substantial savings. You don't have to rely on that fallible eyewitness testimony anymore. You don't have to rely on whether the police were fair or unfair. It's like, we got a tape. We know exactly what happened. Here it is. Open and closed case.
And it's a matter of whether the public accepts those things as objective evidence.
From a legal standpoint, can you see there being problems? Just because of the privacy issue, can you see that being a problem?
Oh, sure. And there are laws dealing with when cameras can be used and when they can't be used. And for instance, around police stations and jails, there have been lots of video cameras for years and years. And there certainly have been cases. I'm familiar with a case where a constable was charged with assault in relation to somebody who had been arrested. And they had the videotape of him apparently assaulting the accused, and the videotape was not allowed into evidence for technical reasons, and I can't even remember what they were, but it had something to do with the way that the camera was done. So there are those kinds of things. There will certainly be court challenges, but having said that, I think videotape takes you a big step beyond still photos, for instance. It is a lot more inclusive in showing what went on. But yeah, there will still be people who give long and hard thought to, is this really accurate, you know, and are there errors of perception? I know that, for instance, in the Truscott case, they said that the photographs they used to show the road down which there was a car parked, they said based on these photographs, you couldn't have seen what color the license plate was. Well, in fact, the photographs were small. You know, they didn't really accurately convey the sense of this big scenery. So there are all those kinds of issues that will still come up. You know, there are problems with black and white photographs, for instance. Although, again, the way the technology is going, it seems to me that it won't be long before you have, like, movie quality of every crime committed in a convenience store or whatever.
And what I'm concerned about is because you see so many different TV programs about life in general, real life, that, so, and this is a far-fetched story, but it, you know, who thought there would ever be punk country? And, of course, Katie Lang brought that a long time ago. But I could see down the road where some of these pictures would be incorporated into some TV programs. Did you see this car that was involved in an accident? And they could create, as long as you've got moving pictures and you've got television, you've got a TV program that you can create.
Well, and Cops and all those kinds of shows are very popular, where they show the actual film going on, and it has some utility, you know, the America's Most Wanted, where they reenact crimes and so on. It's true. Another issue that this raises is a question of regulation of private use of these videotapes of cameras, because they are so small. You know, do we have any such thing as privacy left, and is it worth protecting, and if so, how can we do that?
And that's why the French and the Mahaffey family are looking at right now, is trying to protect their privacy, because there could be a chance down the road that the images, the videotape of their daughters being involved in that horrible case could be brought back out again, and that's got to be scary for them.
Yep.
Well, not to the public. I didn't think that was ever an issue.
But in court.
Well, If there's a reason for it, I can't think of the reason, but that may be the case. I don't believe in destroying the tapes. They are evidence that until at least...
But things go wrong, though.
The perpetrators
are dead. That's what worries me, is that they're already worried about copies.
Just on the Bernardo case, yeah. There were the photographs in the Sun one day of Bernardo in his cell. And it's like, this is totally inappropriate, totally illegal. There's no way this could ever get out. There are safeguards in place, blah, 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 blah. And yet there they are on the front page of the Sun. Mm-hmm. You know. And sure enough, if somehow these tapes are kept around somewhere, somebody makes a mistake and suddenly they're on the internet.
Yeah.
It happens.
And it sure happens. And we're also seeing that some famous celebrities are having their head superimposed on a nude body so that it makes you think that, yes, there's nude pictures of your favorite, you know, Jennifer
Aniston. Movie star, whatever.
Yeah. So that's got to be a concern. I think this is creating a whole new industry now, for at least for the security, because you're now getting video cameras out in the schoolyards. You're getting video cameras possibly out on the streets.
In a funny way, I think it creates a whole generation of skeptics in a way, mm-hmm. too, because they no longer trust what they see, because, you know, usually what you see was the most emphatic point of evidence that you will take into your mind is something mm-hmm. that you see. Now that you know, with all this technology, you have to be aware of it, that images can be altered, that look at the person who's bringing you the image. That's very important. I mean, the messenger becomes very important. Again, with respect to cameras in public places to regulate things like traffic, I think that as long as they're used just for that, I can't see a complaint with it. But as you say, when it gets into privacy issues, that's another matter.
Yep.
I would see nothing wrong with the police using a photo from a camera like that, because some guys robbed a bank and went through that intersection and got their picture taken on the getaway. I mean, why not?
Okay. One other thing before we get out of here this afternoon is the unemployment problem. I know you wanted to touch upon this issue, and hope we can talk a little bit about it in the last remaining minutes that we have.
Yeah, just maybe something to get into for another day, but briefly, I'm interested in just pursuing right now this new book that Linda McQuaig has written called The Cult of Impotence, Selling the Myth of Powerlessness in the Global Economy. And she talks about this natural rate of unemployment and how economists under sort of modern economic theory seem to say that you have to have fairly high unemployment to fight inflation, and that inflation is the biggest evil in the economy. And we've seen that in this economic recovery we're in right now, where we had high unemployment during the recession from 90 to 93. But since then, we've according to economists, we've been in boom times, and yet we've continued to have this very high unemployment. And she has some interesting ideas about why that is. And she says that the main reason it's the case is because that's what government wants, because that keeps inflation down.
So that explains why we have unemployment insurance programs, minimum wages, and
why
programs
been cut so
like
badly.
That to keep unemployment high.
Well, explains why they've been cut so dramatically, but, in a way it does, because you're right. If they didn't have any kind of programs for people, then you'd have open revolt, and basically you wouldn't have any government at all.
Well, no, you'd have a lot more people willing to work at lower wages, which...
Or
taking higher risk occupations, yeah. mm-hmm. or going into business themselves.
But one of the things she points out is that the only way that we can have the extraordinarily high inflation that we have right now in investments and in terms of stocks and that kind of thing, the only way that we can have the massive growth we've had, the massive profitability in the banks and so on, and not have inflation overall, is to have deflation in wages. In order for it to come out at zero, where you've got such huge inflation happening in investments, you have to have wages below zero in terms of growth in order to have a low rate of inflation, which explains why we've had this strange dichotomy.
I think you're using the word inflation a little loosely there. You know, the type of inflation we had in the beginning of the 80s and late 70s was caused by one thing and one thing only: the government printing too much money. When they stopped doing that, we basically licked inflation in terms of the devaluing of the dollar relative to its goods and services. But prices do go up despite inflation, and although we call that loosely inflationary, if a loaf of bread costs more next week than it did this, mm-hmm. we call it inflation, it may not necessarily have anything to do with the value of your money going mm-hmm. down. It just may be supply and demand. And labor is no different than anything else. You have a supply and demand that is regulated by the existing pool of available people and prices, which are wages and other things.
Well, that's when I get concerned with going back to the days of wage and price control.
Well, yeah, nobody's suggesting that we're anywhere close to that right now. What we're saying is a question of whether you should have inflation that's, say, 2 or 3%, or whether you should have inflation that's 1%. And the difference is hundreds of thousands of jobs, and nobody really takes serious issue with that. The thing that I found very interesting was recognizing that the government economists and David Dodge, the deputy minister of the town, all say we have had to have high unemployment to keep inflation down, because that's our main goal. And for me, what's most striking about that is that if they want high unemployment, then to me, they're the ones who should pay the cost for it, and we shouldn't be blaming unemployed people for being lazy.
Well, then let's save this for next week when Jim comes back, because it's a great topic. And thanks. Nice meeting you guys.
Nice meeting you.
And we'll continue this next week. And I'll be back tomorrow morning while Jim is still away. For Ryan Spence, Derek Lowe, for Jeff and Bob here, I appreciate the time, guys. And I'll be back tomorrow morning. This is Eddie Matthews. Have yourself a safe and pleasant afternoon. Enjoy the afternoon. Some great sunshine coming your way. More Talk of the Town tomorrow morning after 9 o'clock.